CheersCast is part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Sorry I took so long getting here this morning.
Sam, you know, this is the fourth time this week that you've been late. As a responsible businessman and the owner of this bar, you owe to yourself to stick to a more responsible schedule, you know.
Absolutely. The post office ran its business the way you run yours. Never mind. You wanna go where everybody knows your name.
Hello and welcome back to CheersCast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. I'm your host, Ryan Daly, and this episode marks a first in the life of CheersCast. You know my guest, he's been on the show numerous times, but what you might not know is we actually watched this episode together at my home about 2 months ago. It was a terrible experience that I hope never to repeat. Please welcome from Jeff and Rick Presents, Rick Heineken. What is up, buddy?
Well, gosh, what can I say? I was able to survive the experience myself. I was able to move past the trauma of being in the same room with you for more than a minute. So, yes, no, it was enjoyable. This is all a gag, I hope. It was wonderful to meet you. I was glad to see you in person and meet you in person. I was really thankful to you for letting me stay in your home for the night as I was doing a trip and finishing up my visiting 50 states before I turned 50.
It was a ton of fun. I was glad you hit me last. I was the last one you did not copy with.
It was the last date. It was the last date. I was very happy as I bounced into your house. I did it.
Rick, every time you're on the show, you bring a little something extra for us. Did you bring something this time?
I did, but I did not bring beer. And that's because I know I didn't bring beer. I'm trying to make sure the show doesn't go long, but I brought something else, and I brought something else that I shared with you because a day earlier, as I was driving through some states, I went through Massachusetts and I stopped in Boston and I went to the Cheers Bar and I brought you a present and I bought myself a present. Neither of us has opened these up yet, but what I brought you was a container of Cheers Norm's Nuts, gourmet salted Virginia peanuts.
I had to say Norm's Nuts. That's
Norm's all. Nuts.
Norm's Nuts. That's
I saw this and this was an instant thing. It's like, I need to buy this. I need to buy one for me, one for you. So we can open these up on the show, try them out. We can say we like them or not. And we have something fun to talk about. And plus, it's a great gift.
No additives, no preservatives for prolonged freshness and good taste. Refrigerate or freeze upon opening. Can also be used as kindling. Manufactured in a facility that also processes food. All right.
Yeah.
And folks, I will have a picture of this can and I will put it on some of the social media posts for this on like Facebook and IG and stuff like that. So, all right. It looks like a Planters peanuts can, just like with a different dressing over. But
oh yeah. Yeah. These
popping like the little tin thing off this. They smell like nuts.
They smell like nuts.
Do not eat. No, just one. All right. Try it.
These are bar peanuts.
Yeah.
Nothing special or distinct about these, except that these are grade A Planters peanuts. But I don't care. You think it could charge me a little bit more by putting Cheers Norm's Nuts on here? When I'm done with this can, I'm keeping this can because, you know, it says Cheers Norm's Nuts. I'm keeping that.
Well, assuming the listeners haven't been turned off by hearing us eat on the mic, because that's always good radio and good podcasting.
Hey, I don't know what you're talking about. We just have Norm Nuts in our mouth.
There's so many jokes I want to go with this, but I
already went there.
I know. And speaking of Norm and his nuts, we are on season 9, episode 11, Norm and Cliff's Excellent Adventure. Gotta say, probably weren't expecting a whole lot of Cheers titles to be named after Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure in the series, but this was like 1 year after the movie, I think.
And yet, there is nothing about this that puts Bill and Ted. There's nothing whatsoever. I could think of naming this a whole lot of different things. The Great Card Chase, a cut-up. I mean, there's more that you could do with that, I think.
Right.
But we'll get to it, I'm sure.
This one is written by Ken Levine and David Isaacs, directed by James Burrows. The original air date was Thursday, December 6th, 1990. Norm and Cliff decide to prank the others by instigating little fights amongst them. It works out fine when they pit Carla and Rebecca against each other. but when they report Frasier's gold card stolen to the credit card company, Sam is compelled to cut up the card, humiliating Frasier in front of his colleagues. Frasier storms out, vowing never to return. In the meantime, Woody has discovered the Home Shopping Channel and his addiction to it. He buys so much crap he doesn't need and that no one else wants that his own credit is cut off. Feeling guilty about driving a potentially permanent rift between Sam and Frasier, Norman Cliff finally confessed to the prank. As punishment, Sam takes their credit cards, but instead of cutting them up, he gives them to Woody to max out their cards buying more crap on TV. Alrighty. I have thoughts on this one, as you would expect.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the whole impetus of this show. What are your big picture thoughts on this episode?
It's fine. It's fine. There is a couple of good gags in there. There's a couple of good zingers and hits. On the whole, I think there's a level of meanness to the show. But there are a couple of standout roles that do permeate throughout the problems. So it's not bad. It's just there is so much better that's in this show. And I think that it does a disservice to some of the better character actors on here.
I agree. I did not mean to give you this one and the season 7 finale with the visiting lecher. But both of those episodes, these are not. Not great episodes. I wish I'd give you better material. I promise next time.
There's still some good stuff in here.
I think this one is a funny episode, but I find faults just in the basic premise.
Yeah.
Like, and we'll kind of get into this, it kind of sets up like this, like, oh yeah, Norman Cliff going back to their old ways of like pulling these hijinks and stuff like that, like pitting these people against each other. It's like, watching the show for 9 years, never seen an instance of this. Like,
no.
Where is this coming? Like, the writers are just coming up with, like, it's like a retcon, but it's like, why are you even doing this? Even the whole thing of, like, driving this forced rift between Sam and Frasier, like, at this point, I'm like, maybe this would have happened in season 4, maybe season 5, like, earlier on, like, when Diane was there, like, before, but it's just, no, I don't buy it. Like,
actually, I think that when we get to the Sam and Frasier riff, the second time I watched this, I came around on a little bit, and that's just my own personal experience with where a longtime friend and I had a riff, and it broke our friendship for over 12 years. So I can see that. I've experienced that, where like good friends can butt heads on a stupid, stupid thing that if they just sat down and talked it out, it would be fine. And that's kind of what this, at the end of this, is Norm and Cliff come up and apologize. But let's get to it.
Right. The teaser, I love the teaser. I wish that it was an actual official teaser. What we'll find out is it's really just the first 30 seconds of the first act of the show. But we're inside the bar, but it's closed. The lights are off. And a group of our regulars are outside in the little alley stairway. We just see them through the little window on the front door. We see Carla, Cliff, Frasier, and Rebecca. They're shivering from the cold. Sam arrives. We just see him coming down the stairs. They're like, finally, you're going to let us in. He's like, what are you guys doing out here? And Carla forgot her keys. Rebecca's keys are locked in her office, things like that. And Sam was like, I didn't bring my keys. I was hoping one of you would let me in. I'm like, well, what are we going to do? And then, good afternoon, everybody. And they're like, Norm shows up. He's like, sorry, I'm late. Norm, of course, has his own key made, which is a joke he made many seasons ago, which we thought was a joke. But
no, we know it wasn't a joke. Of course, he's got his own key made. Yeah. He closes a bar sometimes.
Right, exactly. So Norm lets them in, and that's it. Like, the door opens as they're all just kind of walking in, and it cuts to the opening credits.
And it really doesn't bother any of them either. They kind of accept it as read. Like, oh, yeah, Norm's got a key, too. Yeah. We're good. Yeah. Norm's the responsible one.
Yeah. Not even like, oh, thank God Norm is here, because it's just like, no, yeah, of course. Yeah, just open the door, let us in. But then, yeah, after the credits, we come back and we pick up immediately after. It's like the same shot as they're all just kind of filing in. And Sam has been, we find out he's been running late 4 times this week, and Frasier admonishes him. And I kind of, like, the second time I was watching this, I was like, okay, maybe this is a little bit of seeding what they'll end up fighting about later, because Frasier's like, you're the owner of this bargain. You have the responsibilities of, taking care of your business and ensuring that, you and your employees or your business is sticking to this strict schedule that you're operating. Like, that's how the only way you're going to survive.
But at the same time, we also have Norm that gets on it as well. Cliff gets on it as well. It's a general jibing that everybody does in the bar. Right. So I don't really think that it adds to it. Yeah. I think it's just a separate thing. It's just, it's getting us to some jokes. It's getting us to the postal joke.
Right, which is great. Cliff is like, yeah, Ashley, if the post office ran its business the way you run yours, never mind.
Never mind.
and Sam, you know, he defends himself. You know, he says the reason he was late was he was being treated by a dermatologist. I'm like, oh, is it serious? Like, no. He just had a patch of dry skin. Stayed up all night looking for it.
Found it 4 times. By golly. The by golly sells that line.
And this is great, because you mentioned like they're all kind of getting in on it. Norm is like, hey, Sam, this is serious though. Gary's Tavern, Old Town Tavern, opens up half an hour before Cheers. Sam is like, and how do you know that, Norm?
Hey, who's on trial here? But then we get the B plot.
Yeah, Woody comes in and he has discovered the Home Shopping Network. Initially, my first thought was like, oh, how quaint this is. Like, this idea that, oh, you could be watching television and just like buy something. Like, oh, what a weird little gimmick. And I'm like, this is our reality. This is like our objective. Like, any random thing we want at any time, we push a button and we bought it.
Right. But just remember, there's something about it now. It's saving us a trip to the store. And most of the times it's things we need. Honestly, right. I'm in the midst of getting a new carafe for our coffee maker because it's cleaning it the other day. And I noticed there's a crack in it. I don't know if it was me or my wife, but somebody, there's a crack in it. I ordered a new one off of Amazon. Today, I received a tablecloth, which is not a coffee carafe. But still, we have the ability to resolve these problems without going out and getting it ourselves. Back in the day, it wasn't like that. We weren't looking for stuff that we need or to replace something that we need for our everyday lives. Mm-hmm. It is, we're middle of the night, we're watching TV, and we buy the crap that Woody buys.
Anyway, so he's talking about the Home Shopping Network, and Cliff's like, yeah, Ma Clavin is always watching that channel, asking Cliff to buy her things. Who do you think bought her the TV in the first place?
Well, I don't know. When I find him, I'm going to stuff that clicker down his throat.
And Woody shows the first thing that he ordered, which was delivered, and it's this little toy car, this metal car that he's really... I was like, but this is even better, because he opens it up, and it rewinds VHS tapes. You didn't have one of those, but I remember those. A lot of my friends did. Did you?
I had one. It wasn't a car. It was just a regular rewinder. To be fair, back in the day, me and my roommates watched so many movies and so many things on tape that we needed it, because you get done watching the tape, you want to watch another movie right away, you take that out, put it in the rewinder so you could use a VHS player to play that one.
My friend had one that was based on a car, but it was a different model car. It was like a light blue, like Cadillac Corvette or something.
So
like
your
that.
Friend was fancy.
Yeah, he had tons of porcelain cows and stuff in his
When noon hit, man, moo everywhere.
Yeah. But yeah, just like, yeah, like the whole thing is like, oh yeah, again, like the timeliness of this, yeah. VHS tapes, oh yeah, you had the option of rewinding them separately so that you could put another one in there and watch it while you're doing it. So
come on, we have to watch all of Titanic in one go. We can't wait for that first tape to rewind to put the second tape in.
Why
are you giving me that look? Why are you giving me that look? Don't judge me. Don't judge me. I'm king of the world, baby.
This is the first way to binge watch something.
Exactly. All those seasons of Highlander I had on VHS tape, that's not going to watch itself with breaks in between. Come on, man.
Is there like, Woody, wouldn't a VCR rewind the tape for you? He's like, not the one I bought last night.
I wonder if he bought the rewinder before he bought the VHS player. Yeah,
it's like, oh, I should do this. Yeah. Rebecca comes in to tell Carla that her time cards need to be filled out in ink, not pencil. Of course, while she's doing this, Carla is furiously trying to change her time card in pencil. And like, then she just kind of like blows her off and doesn't listen to her.
And specifically saying, would you leave me alone? It's really hard to do this with this pencil. Meaning that she wasn't listening to her about the pens.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And this is kind of what sets up the whole thing, because Cliff kind of goes to Norm. He's like, you remember the good old days? And they're like, you could just pounce on some argument between the two ladies, kind of turn them into like the Sharks and the Jets. And
reference.
Right. Norm is like, all right. He's like, for you, Cliffy, we'll you know, how's he like? Oh, there's some basically. Oh, we'll take a trip back to the good old days. We'll bring this little gimmick of ours.
Tell you what, Cliffy, for you, I'm going to tee it up one more time.
One more time, yeah. And Norm walks over to Rebecca, and he admires her professionalism to take such disrespect from Carla. Like, he's like, if you were a Japanese businessman, you'd have to commit some kind of ritual suicide.
But here in America, and that sets off Rebecca.
Right, and she orders Carla to come into her office with a pen, and Carla's like, I better be getting a raise for this. And like, we're okay, we're expecting Rebecca to chew her out. Nope, 5 seconds later, the door opens, Carla comes back out, I got my raise.
Because who's going to win in a fight between Carla and Rebecca? It's going to be
Of course
Carla.
She cracked as soon as they got it.
I with George Wendt talking about, you know, the Japanese businessman, I flash back to Gung Ho, his 1986 movie. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. It just was like, I was like, oh, that just makes me think of that. But anyways.
Lilith kind of rushes into the bar to remind Fraser that it's their monthly luncheon of the Psychoanalytic and Social Therapeutic Practitioners Society.
She's Barn like,
did burner. You, yeah, did you forget? And he's like, well, let me finish this double and I might.
Which makes me think, I mean, all of these characters are one step from pure alcoholism, but that line just, there's something about it that I'm just like, what time is in the morning? You're doing a double to get out of this. My God, man. All right.
Or the fact that he's just got to get a load on to have lunch with his colleagues, his professional peers and everything. So he tells the, you know, Sam and the others that this group is so boring. He's like, Lilith is the Dorothy Parker of this political Algonquin roundtable.
An America poet, literary critic, and writer of fiction based in New York, she was known for her caustic wisecracks and eye for 20th century urban foibles. I needed to look that up because I was like, that is not in the parlance of today's literature.
I knew the reference, and yeah, the literary criticism, the punditry, and the wise-ass humor and like sort of pop culturism of the day. I'm like, oh yeah, today we just call that the internet.
Yeah, 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 that's fair.
So, like, as they're about to leave, you know, Cliff is, you know, hey, Norm, why don't you start a fight between Fraser and Lilith? And I was like, that's too easy. You do it yourself. You can do it. I'm sure you can. And Cliff is just like, hey, Fraser, what do you think Carla should fill out her time card in, with a pen or pencil? And Fraser and Lilith just share this look. She's like, yeah, I can see why you wouldn't want to leave this stimulating conversation. And it's basically too dumb for, you know, too pointless for to share the opinion. And Cliff's like, yeah, I messed that one up.
I'm not you, Cliff. Come on, buck up, buddy. You're just warming up here. You got to start with something easy one first. Right. Look, there's Paul.
There's Paul. Paul Crapins, the other played by Paul Wilson, who at this point, and we're going to see this continue. He's now like our third guy. But as he's walking up, Cliff is just like, hey, Paul. And he's like, shut up, fathead. Doesn't even let him get anything.
Paul knows these guys.
Yeah.
Like, knows Cliff. It's like, no, I'm not going to deal with you, man. I'm not going to deal with you.
Some indeterminate amount of time later, but the same day, Woody comes back with something else he got from the Home Shopping Channel. And it's this porcelain cow that's also a clock. And you push the button, it goes, it's man. And Sam's like, well, what happens if it's 7 o'clock? And he's like, well, you know, the cow's power of speech is pretty limited.
Everything kind of sounds like, no. How do you ever know what time it is?
Well, it helps to wear a watch. when he does his own little patronizing bit, like one of the few times, he's like, don't treat me like I'm stupid.
You're the one who's asking why you don't wear a watch. Come on, man.
Rebecca just humoring Woody. She's like, it's very nice. And he's like, oh, well, he gives it to her and she declines. Mm-hmm. She's like, I can't accept this. He's like, Ms. Howe, I've been to your apartment. Take the cow.
There's so many ways to take that, but I think mostly it's just that Woody's like, you need a cow in your apartment because I did not see a cow in your apartment. You need almost, a cow in your apartment.
Almost taking pity on her.
Yeah, it's like, and you see Rebecca, like, Rebecca's got the same look that I got the one year when, for my birthday, one of my friends gave me the first season of Saved by the Bell on DVD. And I looked at it for a while saying, did I miss something? Did this become cool and I didn't know it? And then I realized that he just didn't want to give me a gift card. And this means that I had to go back to the store, trade that in for what I really wanted. Well played, sir. Well played. But it was that same look, like, did I miss something? Did this become cool? She just doesn't know what to do with that from Woody. Yeah.
That's my feeling about, like, when people do, like, white elephant gifts around the holidays and everything. It's like, you're basically just giving somebody something and telling them, okay, you throw this in the garbage. I don't want to be bothered to do it. And then Fraser and Lilith bring their group of peers, their psychoanalytic and social therapeutic society, back to Cheers because they obviously have problems. And Fraser says that he hopes to move the monthly meetings to Cheers for the business. And Sam's like, that's great. And here he gives Sam his gold card and he's like, keep the bubbly flowing or something to that effect.
As Lilith takes off to check her messages and Carla pipes out, oh, you got one from Madame Tussauds. Get back to the museum.
She's like, yeah, Lilith said that her lab assistant Otto got into these synthetic hormones.
Yep.
And she has to go there and bail him out.
Or her.
She won't know until she gets there. Like, progressive tension.
Yeah, that was a quick little line that was in there, but it was kind of like, it's kind of fun. I like that. That's good.
Woody finds the cow clock is in the trash. Rebecca doesn't know how it could have gotten in there. And she said, and this, you kind of have to set like the visual thing, because as she's talking, Sam is over on the phone with the credit card company, and he's got one of those machines that they used to have to like slide like over the credit card to leave its imprint with all the numbers and the information on like a carbon. Yeah. So he's got like, he's holding one of these things as he's on the phone. And Rebecca's like, Woody, I don't know how that clock could have gotten in the trash. Do you know, Sam? And he's like, yeah, you told me to throw it. And before he gets the line out, she runs the slider mechanism over his hand.
It was fantastic timing. Again, my props to Ted Danson for having the great comedy timing and just knowing how to use the props well. I couldn't tell exactly where he had his fingers. We had it somewhere close enough to it, like on the side or near it, so that when she did it, he could reach his hand back she did get his finger in there.
Right.
And it was absolutely perfect timing and trust between the two actors, too, for that shot of just slide over and doing that. So,
right. Yeah, but also, I mean, like the presence of mind, like he hears her talking, but he's clearly his mind is on something else because it's a throwaway line. Like he just.
Yeah. Because he's looking up here. He's like, right. there's like three or four different things going on besides just the acting of the scene. So it's well done.
And then Sam calls Fraser back to the bar and he tells him that the car was reported stolen. I kind of forgot about this. We didn't set this up properly. When Sam first gets the card from Fraser, he walks back. He sets it down at the bar next to him to go get the drinks for everybody. And this is when Norm kind of gets the idea to, what if they call the credit card company and reported Fraser's card, the card number is stolen. And the way he kind of phrases it, like, he's telling Cliff, he's like, just suppose what would happen if somebody does this? And Cliff is just like, I don't know what would happen. And he's like, well, sparks would fly. And Cliff is like, oh, why? Like, that's the other thing. Like their interaction between this thing, like the whole master and apprentice type of thing between the two of them. I'm like,
yeah, it doesn't work, really.
Yeah.
It's like
Cliff has never been this
dumb.
Yeah, dumb, subservient, like a lackey type of thing like that. He's been the fool, since the beginning. But
yeah, there's just a naivety about him that doesn't really fit.
Also, like, I mean, in the bar, he has this truly misguided but genuine sense of confidence, self-confidence.
Yeah.
It's missing from this whole episode. That's Sam calls Fraser to the bar. He tells him that the card was reported stolen. It's like, of course, that's ridiculous. And Fraser, because it has his name, it's identity. It's, what do you think? I stole the card for myself or something. Mm-hmm. And Sam is like, well, you know, they're serious. I have to cut this up. And this is where I kind of think like Fraser's whole mini lecture to Sam about being a more responsible businessman. Yeah. Maybe this kind of leads to this thing where he's like, yeah, I can't take shortcuts anymore. I just got the bar back. I know what it's like to not have it. I can't afford to lose it. And he has this great line. He's like, I have to cut this card up. They spend a whole half hour talking about just that at the lecture, at the seminar at the Sheridan. Like when he got, like, in order to get this credit card machine for the first time, like in 1990 or whatever, he had to go to a seminar to know how to use this thing.
Spend half hour on just that fact at the Sheridan. And he goes back to a couple times. No, they were really, really clear on that, the Sheridan.
Yeah. Like he's really afraid he could get in trouble for this, or they'll take the credit card machine away.
If I know, they're going to take the little card thingy away. Right. I like this interaction between the two of them because there's something that's here where you do have Frasier. He's trying to entertain a group of people, and he's trying to show that he is hoity-toity. He's in his hoity-toity role.
Right.
And so he's trying to, you know, here's my gold card. We're going to keep the champagne flowing. So he's trying to be impressive with this group. And Sam's like, well, no, we can't do this. And they're friends, so you have that friendship layer. You have him being the owner of the bar. But there's still some jokes in here, and it ramps up and ramps up, and they start getting louder and louder, and it just tips over to a point where it's funny, but at the same time, it's also a little bit realistic, and it's insane, because the more it goes on, Frasier is like bringing up, he almost becomes Shakespearean in how he's orating on all this, which just takes it up to a different level as well. And I actually like this scene. I you know, the premise is maybe a little all over the place, but I could see this going up. It's two people who are friends who are just blowing up.
And Sam tries to give him an out. He does. He's like, what if you, like, do you have a different card? Or he's like, why don't I run a tab for you?
Right.
Or I'll cop this round. Like, this round, like, I'm a house and everything. You don't have to pay for it. And Frasier's taking more offense to this. Like, it's having the opposite of the desired effect from Sam. He's like, I will not accept your charity. And even one of his colleagues walks up. He's like, I've got a card. Why don't we just run a mine? He's like, what is he? He told him, like, he's like, get out of here. He's like, shut butt out of this, you Skinnerian baboon.
And I had to look this up. This is another one I had to look up. It refers to Burris Frederick Skinner, the American psychologist, behaviorist, inventor, and social philosopher.
Yeah.
He was known for coming up with the Skinner, what was it called? The Skinner box, which is something that they use to basically come up with operant or operant conditioning to strengthen behavior considering the rate of response. So it kind of goes into this too. It's a closed environment.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when certain stimuli goes in here? What is the response that you expect to happen? Positive.
Not the Skinner box from the Saw movie franchise that you might have heard.
Well, sure. Why not?
And then, yeah, so eventually it gets to the point and Sam does cut the card in half. And you can see they both react as if they've been struck. Like, Sam instantly regrets it. He's like, I'm so sorry. What was I thinking? Why did I do that? I'm so, so sorry. And Frasier is like having a heart attack. Like, he's like going into cardiac arrest. And like he cut his heart in half with the scissors. Yeah.
It's a great scene. They react fantastic when it occurs.
Yeah, he's like, you made me look the fool. He's like, oh, you did that to yourself. He's like, this is goodbye. Frasier will never set foot in Cheers. And he, like, as he starts, like, I close the iron door upon you. And throughout this whole thing, there are a few cutbacks to Norman Cliff as they're like, this one got away from us.
He also said, Sam tries to give him his cards. Oh, take my credit cards. Oh, fine. With your $90 credit limit, I can go hog wild at Monkey Ward's.
Monkey Ward. Yeah. The next day, Sam wants to know if anyone has heard from Frasier. Keeps calling the house, and the machine keeps picking up. Carla's like, Carla. Oh, Lilith answered.
Nothing good. Carla's got a couple of real good lines in this one.
Yeah. And Norma's like, he'll come back, you know, trying to reassure himself that he didn't do any lasting damage. It's like, Frasier will calm down. Everything will be fine. Just give it time and space. But in the meantime, Norm and Cliff, they vow to stop messing with people's minds. They've learned their lesson. They're not going to do this anymore. Like,
yeah.
By the way, your fly is open.
So is yours.
And they both just laugh about it.
Like, oh, and then they go back to their respective seats, and both of them, it's Cliff. He really, you can tell that he's looking down to make sure his fly is not down. And Cliff catches him like, I saw that. And he comes back and goes, I saw you looking through the bottom of your beer glass.
Then Woody comes in with a box of new stuff that he bought from the Home Shopping Channel. And he's just giving them to Rebecca. It's a bracelet with sapphires. And she's like, So sapphires are supposed to be blue. And there's a portable solar-powered phone. Crazy.
Woody, I can't accept these. People are going to get the wrong idea.
And he goes, what, that I have a crush on you?
No, that I like crap.
That I think is probably my home run for the episode, that exchange.
It's a great exchange.
And he's like, you think this is crap? And she's like, I'm really sorry. But he's like, no, that's the word I was looking for.
He knows it's crap, but he can't stop buying it.
He can't. He says it. He can't. As soon as the number flashes up on the screen, he has to call. He's already dialing. And
Woody, you've got to stop. Well, I have to.
Because he maxed out his credit card. They cut him off. But if Rebecca, Miss Howe, if you just advance my paycheck 6 months, you know, I'd be back in business. And, you know, there might be a new necklace inside in it for you.
Woody, you're hooked. Listen to me. You need help. I don't need help. I just need more credit.
More credit.
You're right, Miss Howe. I do need help. I'm scared. Help me. Hurry. Act now.
And he's like holding his hand like trying to. But I also like that after he offers her the necklace and he's like, and hey, if you decide not to keep it, just, or if you don't want to give me the money, you can just keep the necklace as a free gift or something.
I do like this B plot. This B plot solid. This is the characters running. I mean, this is Woody. This is what we expect from Woody. And this is what we expect from Rebecca. She's kind of complicit with it to a point where then she's like, no, you know, Woody, you can't do this. And she's a bit of a voice of reason, too. Yeah. So,
yeah, and it's a good plot for the two of them to engage because they didn't really necessarily have much else going. But Sam had called Frasier to apologize. And essentially, Frasier said that he takes all of these phone calls as a sign of harassment. And if he doesn't stop calling, he's going to put out a restraining order on Sam. Cliff was like, yeah, restraining order. The last resort of shrinks and housewives and nightgowns.
There's an entire story right there.
And he looks out of the side of his eye at Norm. Norm catches it and he's like, oh, I said, he knows he said too much. And Norm's like, I'm not going to ask. And he's like, I don't need to know.
Nobody wants to ask.
So, but Norm feels really guilty and, you know, they've got to go, they've got to make this right. So they're going to go to Frasier and explain the situation.
Well, wait. But they're not going to go over right now. If they just wait a couple hours, they might be able to catch him at dinner. Free meal.
Free meal. There you go. So they go to sit back down. We cut to Frasier and Lilith at their home. She says that Freddie is with her mother. So they have the night to, and Frasier has been trying to read, but he's still just fixated on Sam cutting his card. That's all he's thinking about, all he's talking about.
Now we need to stop because Bebe Newirth is there in this silk black pajamas that go up mid thigh, and it's very form fitting, very nice. And it's one of those things where you look at like, oh yeah, that's right, she's hot.
Sorry, Norm.
You got a mouthful of nuts there, buddy.
Yeah, I put Norm's nuts in my mouth again. Huh. It was Norm talking about getting a free meal. You're right. Lilith looks great, as always does. But like her hair is down and everything. She's in her home, you know, relaxed. And
I mean, talk about Frasier missing all the clues. Freddy's away for the night. We've got the place to ourselves. Look at me.
Exactly. And she's like, she's so sick of hearing about Sam cutting up his card that she's basically, at this point, she's so annoyed by him that she's unable to sympathize with Frasier. And he's just kind of reading to himself, just barely mutters, like, of course not. Sympathy is a human emotion.
What? It's a perfect aside. It's just, it's the bitter, angry, vicious Frasier.
And he cops to it. He's like, I'm sorry, darling. I'm just lashing out. Got off a good one, though.
Just the same aside, same. God, beautiful. I do love those lines. Those are good.
And she gets him to visualize going back to they're at Maui. They're on the beach drinking Mai Tais, smelling the sea air, all these. And she's having him visualize all these things as the wind is blowing and the swaying in the wind.
She's looking away from him. And so like her back's to him and she's swaying. Feel the swaying of the ancient palms, the rhythm. And he opens his eyes and he's looking at the rhythm.
It was funny. Just the episode before this had an instance with Frasier hypnotizing Woody with the watch. And I'm just like, yeah, here we go. He's just clocking it himself, just following, locked him. And he's like, yeah, he's like, that was a wonderful moment. And he paid for the whole thing on his gold card.
Which was gladly accepted and returned in one piece by a mountain of flowered sarong.
He's like, you know what? He thanks, he appreciates that she's trying to take his mind off of Sam, and to repay her, he's going to serenade her with the piano.
Which he's never done before.
You haven't done that since, have you ever done that?
Yeah.
And he plays the first few notes and they both start to sing as one, except he's singing Autumn in New York and she's singing Moonlight in Vermont. And they both get and she's like, you go. And it's, again, it's kind of continuing this joke about like sort of making fun of her singing ability, which they come to a few times, but it's like, mm-hmm. she's an amazing performer, a Tony Award winning performer.
Yeah.
And you're not going to let her sing this song.
No. You're going to have Fraser sing, which is fine, but it's not Bebe New Earth.
Right, right. And he only gets like one verse in, or maybe half a verse before he starts crying because he paid for this piano with his credit card.
Then the doorbell rings.
Doorbell rings, and Lilith goes to answer it, and Norman Cliff are there, and she's like, oh, Fraser, look, it's Norman Cliff. Well, I've suddenly developed a migraine. I'm going to bed. And she closes the door on them.
Yeah, she closes the door and walks away, and he comes running to open up the door, and she is gone for the episode. Bye, baby!
and he, you know, he walks in, he lets them in, he's like, it's so good to see you guys, and they're like, yeah, sorry, we didn't mean to interrupt you during dinner. And he's like, oh, no, we finished dinner hours ago. And Norm's angrily to Cliff. Nice shortcut. But Norm goes over to their kitchen door and he can guess what they had for dinner by the smell. He kind of leans in, gives it a whiff, a couple whiffs, and he's like, porterhouse steak smothered with mushrooms, green beans with sliced almonds, or Norm's nuts, as you might say, some apple brown Betty and decaf cappuccino. And Fraser's like, that's amazing, but no, we just had Chinese brought in.
Oh, guess it must be my coat.
It just smells like it must be me.
Do you have any more of the Chinese left?
The whole time, all he's thinking about is food. The whole time. Cliff's like, Norm, we didn't come here to talk about food, as they're sitting down in like the living room area, and Cliff reaches into that. He's like, hey, look, I found a maple cookie or a sugar.
And he eats it. He pulls a cookie from the guy's couch and he eats it.
Yeah. He finds an almond cookie in the chair. And
Norm's like, let me have it.
Yeah. Norm's like, no. And he's taking it. And Norm is trying to work up, get to the point of why they're there. And at some point, he just rips the half the cookie out of Cliff's hand.
But they're dancing around the issues so much. They're dancing around the issues so much. And they're trying to, you know, patch up the relationship with Mr. Malone. And because they're not getting directly to the issue, Frazier's one who comes up and says that, you know, Sam wants me to come back to Cheers so he can get down on his knee and apologize to me in public and in person. Yeah. That's even better.
That's even better, yeah. Frazier is filling in for them what he wants them to say, because it's what he wants to hear. Because Norm starts off, sometimes people do things without thinking about it, and he's trying to get to the point of their culpability. And Frazier's only thinking about Sam's, so he's making that connection. And Norm is all too happy to be like, yeah, we can get off the hook with this.
Yeah. That sounds, that actually fits in with a lot of what Norm is. Norm is the least work possible.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
That sounds good. Yeah.
So they go back to Cheers. Frazier, they welcome him. It's like, hey, Frazier's back. And Sam is really happy to see him. Frazier waits for an apology. And Norm, you know.
Sammy, don't drop down on your knees to beg for forgiveness till he's all the way through the door. But look who's here.
Norm and Cliff do their best to kind of rush through the events, just kind of get to this point. Yeah. And then Sam apologizes. He shakes hands and everything seems to be copacetic between the two of them. And then Cliff is like, you probably don't even remember what you were fighting about, do you? And Woody.
I do. Sam cut up his gold card. That was funny.
Then from there, Sam, he said he was sorry, but Fraser's not satisfied with a simple apology. You know, he's like, why don't you like work through a little uhs and ums or something?
I know you're not Walt Whitman, Sam, but I mean, really, a couple more uhs and you knows would at least lend a little more credibility.
And Sam was like, oh, you know what? I am sorry. I'm sorry you were such a jerk and a baby. And Frasier's like, that's it. Frasier starts to leave again, and then Norm and Cliff rush to stop them. And it's time they learned the truth.
Cliffy?
You tell them.
We might have called up and made the phone call. Well, Frasier, you see, yesterday, Normie and I were feeling a little frisky and sort of a gag. We have made a phone call reporting your credit card stolen. And Norm...
My God, Cliff, that is fraud!
You think you know a guy, Sam?
I'm like, Norm, you were in on this, dude. He's like, yeah, okay, I might have been in the vicinity of the phone call. Actually, I might have dialed.
I might have dialed the number.
So... With the now that they know who the real villains were, Sam and Frasier are good. They truly make up. But Sam's like, you guys aren't off the hook. Norm, Cliff, give me your credit cards. They're like, what? He's like, come on, hand them over. And they do reluctantly, but they're like, you can't cut them up. You can't cut up our cards. He's like, I'm not going to cut them up. And just kind of walks back and just effortlessly holds it. It's like, Woody, you're back in business. Chop away. And Woody takes the cards, like eyes, like he's like a he's junkie. Got, just kind of,
he's got the solar cell phone,
yeah, solar powered portable phone. And he just takes it, yeah, and he just starts running away. And the guy, Norman Cliff, like, stop him, stop him, stop him. And they're running around chasing him.
Oh,
that, like, I would say, like, as much as you were right, I like the performances, I like the way Sam and Frasier deliver their things. Like, I just thought, like, the basic premise, the impetus of Norman Cliff doing this as a joke, I feel like that's kind of the faulty premise that just it didn't ring hollow. Like, and because the main plot came out of that, it felt a little false to me, but it is good. It was funny what came out of that. It's just one of those things where I can't get over, like, maybe I would have bought this in the first couple years of the show, but at season 9, it's like, this just feels out of place.
The starting premise just made them look mean and petty. If you had started this off with people are doing some, like, inane practical jokes with each other, like, if you set this on April Fool's Day and had it be that, yeah, and had it start to ramp up from there, where they're like, oh, we're going to do this and we're going to do this. And they're doing little jokes and get to the point where Cliff and Norm are like, man, they got us good. Well, we can get them better. And then they come up with the idea, like, hey, let's call in a fake thing on his credit card and then have it spiral that way, where it's like, oh, the practical joke's out of control. That's better. But if they're trying to, like, set it up, hey, we want these two friends to fight, that's where it gets mean. If it's just a practical joke gone wrong, that's one thing. But trying to, like, hey, we're going to do something to get these two people to angry at each other, that's mean.
I can also say, having a little bit of personal experience, in eighth grade, I think it was, I thought it would be brilliant and oh so funny if I tried one of these things where I put two people against each other. So this girl, one of the most popular girls in the school, I kind of went up to her and I was like, you know, I totally disagree with what this guy, you know, what other kid was saying. I don't think you're fat at all or anything like that. Thinking that she was going to hate this guy, totally blew up. She thought I was calling her fat, totally, like, misheard the situation, but, like, everything. So I turned out, it blew up in my face. She hated me. But I eventually, like, made, like, a big deal of doing this grand apology at a school dance function thing, and then end up getting a dance with her. So kind of spring back, but it was, I remember doing one of those things, like, yeah, this whole idea is dumb.
Yeah.
Like, why would you try to do this? But the other thing that I wanted to come to is, I really do love genuinely how they end up tying the two plot lines together. And they do that sometimes, but it's like, even when Woody is shouting, I don't need help, I need more credit. It's like that's like kind of the first time you're like, oh, funny, weird. Both of these plot lines involve credit cards and credit things. That's interesting. I was like, is that coincidental or is that, like, intentional? And then by the end, when he reveals, when Sam gives them their credit cards, like, now you can shop to your heart's delight and everything. Yep. It's like, that was a good way to tie them together. That was perfect.
Yeah. So I like I said, it's a fine enough episode. It's got some good lines. It's got some fun things, but there are parts of it that are just, the characters are written incorrectly.
Yeah. Yeah. For our guest cast, obviously BB North isn't there. Paul Wilson played Paul Crapins. The only other one, the Fraser's colleague who tries to go up and like pave it, he's credited as Heinrich, played by the actor Tom Clunas. He was a veteran stage actor, an accomplished stage actor. He was also on Little House on the Prairie. He was on Kojak, The Reasonable Doubts, or the show Reasonable Doubts. His last IMDb credit was back in 1993. However, he only passed away 2 years ago. So I'm not sure if he was just doing other stage thing or if he just completely retired after that. But
gave up on the up on being on screen.
For Cliffy's, it's a little known fact. The song Autumn in New York was written by Vernon Duke. Norm had 4 beers this episode, which brings him up to nice round number 880 for the series at this point.
Not bad. Not bad.
Yeah. Who was your employee of the week?
I had to go with Frasier. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that Norm and Cliff were so badly written in this episode that it just didn't work for me. I thought Woody and Rebecca were wonderful, but Frasier was just so over the top and massively melodramatic. The lashing out at Lilith, the fight with Sam, I really enjoyed just the passion he was bringing to it. It was bombastic. It was over the top, and it helped sell, like we've been talking about, a very weak premise. Mm-hmm. Well, the beginning parts between Cliff and Norm and their antics was weak. The fight between him and Sam, it's like, okay, yeah. Once you get out of the impetus and the fight occurs, yes, you're just going to be angry and you're going to be irrational and you're going to be a big baby. And Frasier was that kind of a person. So I could respect that. I liked it.
I agree with everything that you said, but I end up giving it to Woody. And maybe a little bit more just because I liked that plot line more.
Oh, yeah.
That was probably the deciding factor. So, yeah.
Woody is definitely a great choice as well.
Yeah. For the home runs, I honestly, this is where like the extreme polls. I think my two favorite little bits are the teaser at the very beginning of the episode.
Yeah.
And then the climax at the very end when Sam gives Woody the credit cards. I think those are my two favorite like extreme bits of the show. My favorite like dialogue, my favorite little exchange is that one we were talking about between Woody and Rebecca, which is like, if you do this, you keep giving me this stuff, people will think we'll get the wrong idea. What, that I have a crush on you? No, that I like crap.
and mine's right after that. I went over my credit limit with this crap. Unless, of course, you'd care to advance me 6 months on my paycheck. Could be another necklace in it for you. And if you decide to give me the advance, just keep the necklace as a free gift. Listen to me. You need help. I don't need help. I just need more credit. You're right, Miss Al. I do need help. I'm scared. Help me. Hurry. Act now.
He's holding his arms up for a hug.
It just builds and builds and builds, and it's great. Delivers it well.
Ah, Rick, as always, thank you for being on this episode of Cheers Cast with me. Where else, aside from my place and eating our Norm's nuts, where else can people find you if they want to hear more from you?
Well, I have a podcast called Unpacking the Power of Power Pack. We review comic books that have a member of Power Pack in them. I co-host the show with my partner, Jeff, who holds the distinction of being the only creature to ever fail a session in a Skinner box. He just sat there, getting shocked over and over again, even when he could see the bar of chocolate in front of him. Take that, science. See, you shouldn't be doing that when you know I'm about to do a joke. You shouldn't put salty nuts in your mouth at the time I'm doing a joke.
I'm still doing it when I'm recording. This is awful.
Because we have Norm's nuts here. I mean, we're going to be eating Norm nuts. I've been eating them the entire time. I don't do a handful like you do, man. I do like one at a time.
That's the way I was brought up.
Just taking a handful of nuts and put them in your mouth? I was taught to be a gentleman and only do one at a time.
All right, well, thank you very much for being on the show, and thanks to all of you who listen to us and indulge this juvenile humor, and follow CheersCast and support the show by liking and sharing on social media and leaving comments on the website fireandwaterpodcast.com. You can also support the Fire and Water Podcast Network on Patreon. CheersCast is supported by the Right On Network, and Jeff and Rick presents Unpacking the Power of Power Pack. Go to patreon.com/FWPodcast to support your favorite show on the Fire and Water Network. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And until next time, Norm's nuts.
Nuts.
Woody, this has got to stop.
Well, it has stopped, Miss Howe. I went over my credit limit with this crap. Unless, of course, you care to advance me 6 months on my paycheck. Could be another necklace in it for you. And if you decide not to give me the advance, just keep the necklace as your free gift.
Woody, you are hooked. Listen to me, you need help.
I don't need help, I just need more credit. You're right, Miss Howe, I do need help. I'm scared. Help me. Hurry, act now.